Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello everyone, Shannon Garcia getting you ready for the week 6 exit interviews, obviously just the 2 this week. We had a chat with Lee, which was such an important conversation. We did get to chat about his game as well, but obviously the more important stuff about what he and the community are doing with the Tau Challenge, you know, all about his mom and how we can donate and how we can help. So that stuff is really very important. I do hope that you guys check that out. And then about 20 minutes in, just over 20 minutes in, we will be talking to Zach as well about his game after a really big week. And then the recap with Tessa should be coming out tomorrow because I'm recording that tonight. So that's going to be a big one. Get your questions in if you haven't already. Really excited about that. But until then, I will leave you with these 2 exit interviews and see you on the other side.
Hello.
Hi, Lee. I wanted to welcome you to Rob Has a Podcast and just offer my sincere condolences on behalf of the whole Rob Has a Podcast community for your tragic loss. I know that everyone was so shaken watching that, and it's just such a horrible tragedy.
Yeah, thanks. It's been a pretty tricky day to get through, but I was soldiering on and just trying to get through the day, really. I decided to say yes to a lot of things. Initially, I wanted to say no, but I think with the Tau Challenge and everything else, I just want to get the message out there and spread the word. So, yeah.
Yeah, we appreciate that. And we obviously commend you. I can't even imagine what this experience has been like and to go through something like this so publicly. I want to get to the Tau Challenge, but I just also wanted to ask that I've seen that you said you were playing for your mom and for your parents. So could you tell us a little bit about that and your motivation for going on the show?
Yeah, sure. Like anything, when you go on, you know, I went on season one and the reason behind that was, you know, I needed a challenge for myself, and I retired from professional sport playing cricket. And so that was a challenge. I needed a challenge and also wanted to do it for my boys. And this time around, it was a bit different because, you know, it was a few years later and we got asked to go back on, you know, so it was a little bit different, you know, being asked. And so I really needed to sit down and go, why do I want to put myself through this sort of pain again? And the answer was pretty easy. My dad had suffered a stroke 13 years earlier, and my mum was pretty much the caretaker for my dad. Recently, in the last 6 months before we shot Survivor, mum got diagnosed with MND. So she was undergoing, like, she just started a process of if anyone knows what MND does to your body, it starts breaking down, you know, your sort of movements. And so we just saw a generic sort of, health decline. And so for me, it was to go on to the island, not only to do them proud and to play for them, but also to hopefully win the money as well and sort of ease the financial strain and help pay for the medical bills. So that was a no-brainer when it came to the reason why I wanted to go back on.
Yeah, so tragic. MND is something that also it's we're seeing it a little bit in the US show, and some players' family members have that. So it's something I think that we as a community should really rally around as a charity. And as you said, you know, you and David have kind of reinstated the Golden Towel Challenge from last year, but with like philanthropic efforts. So can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so when we, David, it was a towel challenge. It was called the Golden Towel Challenge. We've sort of tweaked the name already, but last year when he got off, David, obviously being a supermodel, had a couple of raunchy photos that he had of him just with the towel, and a few survivor players. This is how it originated. A few survivor players started taking the mickey out of that photo, and then it started going a bit viral. At that time, David contacted me and said, "Look, I really want, you know, would you want to get involved in doing something, you know, for a good cause?" And obviously, with losing mum through to stroke and then dad being affected by stroke, it was just natural that we contacted the Stroke Foundation and sort of pitched the idea to them and said, "Hey guys, this is what we'd like to do." Now, initially, the Stroke Foundation, we had to sort of explain it in a bit more detail because it's not your traditional fundraiser and philanthropic work. You know, if people sort of see people sort of semi-naked, partially naked and posting Instagram photos in black and white, you know, a lot of these foundations have, you know, sort of are a bit more risk averse and they normally stick to fun runs and charity events. But after we described and the link behind why we wanted to call it the Towel Challenge, the link with the survivor community, which is very, very strong, and also the link between losing my mum on the show and then also my dad being affected, they were on board and they have been absolutely amazing. And so basically there's a couple of things that we're doing. We're just getting people to grab a towel, a white towel, take a photo. You can have clothes on, you can have minimal clothes on, as many clothes as you want, and you know, you just put a black and white filter on and post it and hashtag Towel Challenge. And every time that's done, you know, that is raising awareness for stroke, which, you know, unbeknownst to me, before I lost my mum, I didn't realise how much of a sort of an epidemic it is throughout Australia. You know, one in four people will have a stroke in their life, and one person has a stroke every 9 minutes. They're huge numbers, and we probably doesn't get as much attention as, you know, like pancreatic cancer and breast cancer, which it kills more of that. So every time there's a photo that's uploaded, we're raising obviously important awareness. But not only that, there's also a funding page that we can raise money as well. So that just started this morning. You know, obviously they had the show last night, and my phone is just going absolutely nuts today. And that's just testament to not only the survivor community getting behind it, but also the crowd and the community and the supporters and they're people who are affected by stroke. You know, not only the person who's affected, but the family around that as well. So on top of that, we've got a calendar that's coming out on Sunday. So some of the survivor alumni got together and we put together a calendar, very similar, just white towel, black and white photos from all seasons as well, from season one all through to season five, you know, all stars. And also, more importantly, we have stroke survivors who got involved in the professional shoot as well, which was very tricky and very challenging for them because a lot of them have physical disabilities, and for them to sort of strip down and expose themselves, with the towel, that took a lot. And, you know, they knew what, what message they wanted to get out there, even though they might have physical disabilities. They're proud of their bodies as well, which is another thing we want to promote as well. So that goes on sale on Sunday, and people are already wanting to buy it, but unfortunately we're solely holding off. We just got to get a few more prints, a few more copies printed, because we were unsure as to how many people wanted to buy it. So again, we're doing a lot of things, and it's all based on the fact that, you know, in life you're going to get dealt a lot of bad cards and a lot of tragedies and stuff like that. But what can you do, I suppose, how can you turn it into a positive? And this for me was easy. You know, I wanted to turn this tragedy into a positive.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing to kind of have the whole community rally together with the requisite nudity that Australian Survivor often puts in there. And we'll definitely link to the donate link in the show notes, and I'll put it on my social media as well, so everyone can donate and pose with the towel on social media as well to raise awareness. Lee, you know, you obviously were in the game for over a month and made a lot of waves, and it's a difficult one with obviously the tragedy that's happened. Are you comfortable answering a couple of questions about your game as well?
Absolutely, yeah. I enjoy that as well, because it sort of takes, you know, focus away from other things as well. And so I don't want it all to be, you know, deep and heavy as well. So yeah, happy to chat about other stuff.
Well, I wanted to ask about your relationship with Shan, which seems so pivotal from the early days when she's describing, you know, your similar experiences in your former season. Was that relationship as key as we saw it play out on screen?
Yeah, it did. I mean, they probably didn't show as much as, you know, the amount of times we got together and chatted, but right from that first day, we actually walked out onto the mat together, Tarzan, me and Shan. And we didn't know whether we were going to be in the same tribe or not, but we could tell right from the first minute that, you know, if we were going to sort of end up in the same tribe, that we were going to work together. Cause I think we'd been through, you know, such a huge campaign in previous season, season, and made all the way to the end and sort of failed at that final hurdle. So I think there's respect there, but also we have very similar games in the way we play. So there was just a natural sort of tendency to be drawn towards her and her with me as well. So, that definitely probably didn't show it a lot on on TV, but we definitely worked together for pretty much. We were together for the whole 33 days, and in a very strong alliance.
Yeah, kind of counter to that, you obviously had the relationship with Nick, which wasn't so positive last time you played, but this time seemed like extremely important and extremely positive. So, how did that evolve to get to this point?
A lot of years passed. Now, the season one, there was no doubt Nick came very, very hard at me, and some points he was justified to do so, but you know, time is a healer, and we sort of aired our grievances, you know, in the real world, and you know, we all moved on, and Nick became a dad, and you know, my life had changed considerably. So when we got back on the island, there was obviously a decision to, and we got in the same tribe. We came together and said, look, this is what we can do. We can fight and you can, you know, disagree with the way I play the game, and I can disagree with you being a super fan and carrying on all the time, or we can come together and form an alliance with Shan and we can actually work together. Nick can play his game, and his game is so good. He's very strategic. You know, he pulls in different types of players in his alliance, and I can work on my alliance as well, which is more probably sporty, you know, and sort of around that sort of loyalty and mateship sort of space. And so out of all that, we had a great alliance. We had Lydia, Abby, you know, myself, and, you know, Zach, all sort of big, sort of strong, you know, players in that physical sense. And then we had Nick as well. And we had Nick's back because we knew how important he was, you know, in pulling in other players, you know, that we couldn't probably pull in. But also I knew how much of a gun he was at puzzles and how important that was. And I sold that to, you know, the rest of the tribe to say, this guy is great, trust me. The only downside is we had to wait like about 15 days before the first puzzle came out. Once the puzzle came out, he won us off his own bat probably three important challenges. So, yeah, I think that unlikely alliance that really, really worked well. And not at one stage, apart from the night that I had to vote him off because I just couldn't get the numbers, we never turned on each other either. And, you know, he went off and worked on his little alliance with the little rascals, with Harry and Shawnee, and I worked on my alliance with, you know, Lydia and Abby. I think together we all came together nicely.
Yeah, well, what if, okay, alternate reality here. Harry saves Nick with the advantage. You all go to the merge. Nick is back with his old, you know, with the Vakama people. You have that Swap Makuta tribe and Shan is with them. That would be 6-6 with you in the middle. Have you thought about which side you would have gone on if you were the swing vote in that merge vote?
Oh, that's a good question. No, I have not thought about that.
This has been heavily debated, Lee.
And that's a tough choice because, you know, whether it's, you know, Nick or Shan, like, that was tough. I had a lot of trouble. I had a lot of trouble in the first season. This season, I wanted to play the game a bit more and sort of make moves. And, you know, I tried to make a move on Phoebe, who's a dear friend of mine, you know, in the real world. And I had to make a move on her and it failed. It backfired because she won fire. But, but yeah, I was prepared to make move, and so that's a tough one. I don't think I've got an answer for that. I'll have to think about that.
That'll go down as an extended mystery in Australian Survivor because people are debating it, and not even you know, so none of us are right.
No, exactly. I've never been asked that question. Good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, because it's a tough
Survivor question,
tough
that one.
Thank you. So, you know, if you had been able to continue on, did you have many end game plans already? Did you know who you wanted to kind of be voting out and sitting next to at the end?
Yeah, I hadn't, but I think at that stage, top 10, I was in a good position. Now, I'll never ever say that I was going to make top two or top three, but I had every single player in there, I'd form a very strong relationship with. And I think the toughest decision for me was at that stage, we had planned on getting rid of the rest of the Vakama players. And then from seven, and I, in the back of my mind was around that seven is when players are open to movement, especially within Makuta. And I knew that once we got down to there, my focus was just to win as many challenges, individual challenges. And then obviously with David holding his idols, that seven would stay as strong as we could. And then from seven onwards, I believe that it would have got hectic and I would have obviously started to make some moves. I don't have an answer as to what that was, because that still was probably about three tribals away. If you look at it with, AK, Shawnee and was there anyone?
Brooke
left. So there's at least 6 to 7 days there. So my focus was that, but I, in the back of my mind, I wanted to make a move around that seven mark, and I needed to, because after the first year, there was a preconceived idea that I'd never made any moves, even though my moves are a lot quieter than other people. But yeah, I wanted to make a bigger move around that time. Obviously, I never got to that point, but that was my strategy at that stage. So in answer to your question, I had started thinking about it, and but I never got to that stage because I obviously had to leave immediately.
Yeah, you've touched on the evolution between your two games, and kind of like some of it was based on the response and how you've made moves. Some of it might have been down to the fact that it obviously didn't earn you the win. Like, how were you approaching your game? Like, what was it? Was it the fan response? Was it you just like assessing your own game that made that change when you came back to want to be more of an active big move player, to say that?
I think the fact that also the jury members, if I made it through this year, the jury members would have known the conversations that I had with them. Now, in season one, we just had this such a strong alliance that I didn't have to talk to anyone and do any strategy chat, because the alliance in season one was unwavering. It was not touching. We weren't breaking, and everyone knew that. So while it didn't make for good TV, it was a very strong position to be in. So it would seem, illogical to try and break that and potentially get voted off too early. So having said that, and one thing I sort of thought about was going to tribal, there was nothing that the jury that I could say, yes, I had that conversation with you to do this. And so for me this time around, which is still play a very similar game in the way that I approached it, being very physical, not being too much of a threat, being very, strategically, but being very social, that, I could go in that final jury and say, remember that time when we had that conversation, we had to vote off Nick. So, and sort of give them critical points in time to show that I was strategic without being, like a David who come out and go gung ho, because that's not the game. And it's pointless me trying to be like David, because otherwise I would get voted off. So that's in the back of my mind how I was sort of approaching it, and being way more active come merge. Obviously, we only got sort of two or three votes in before I had to go home. So that was my sort of strategy. The foundations was very similar to season one. However, have way more conversations, be a bit more strategic, be part of the decisions made, because I knew season, All-Stars, there was going to be a lot of more chopping and changing, as opposed to season one, just be more active in those conversations rather than sit back and go, just tell me who to vote for.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about playing a physical game. I have to say, you won what my Twitter followers have deemed the worst reward ever in terms of the challenge advantage.
I mean, the biggest stitch-up in the world. I had to hold a pot up for 2 hours, and then they said, oh, we'll tell you tomorrow what the advantage is. And I'm thinking, well, we've had a feast, so we're probably not going to get food. Normally, I have had an advantage in season one, and it was a really good one where I had about a 5-minute advantage where it was like an endurance one for about 30 minutes, and the 5 minutes really helped me. But that was such a stitch up, and I wasn't great. I knew it was a balancing challenge as well, so I thought, I'm gone here. You need, even if Jonathan gave me 6 blocks instead of 9 or 5 blocks, I still wouldn't have won it. Shawnee just was a gun that challenge.
Terrible advantage, Lee. I have to say, the look on your face was so justified. so justified. It was so bad. Before I let you go, I would like to ask, with the way your game ended being so unfair and terrible and tragic and beyond the game, but you came back and your game evolved. It was amazing to see. Would you play again?
I've been asked that a few times today in my interviews. I'm going to say too soon. The people who have played Survivor have this weird addiction for it. And they always say to people, never, never, never. And I'm going to say never at this present moment with a disclaimer. Can you come back and ask me in a couple of years' time until I get through all this? Because it is a game that strangely is addictive, even though you put yourself through so much punishment. So I love it dearly. It's been so great to me, and it's been such a privilege to play. And I don't take it for granted, at all. I select a few of thousands of people who want to be part of, want to actually have a go. So I will say no at this stage. Come back and ask if we do a podcast in a couple of years' time or a year's time, I might change my mind. But at this point, I just got to, every time I seem to go on Survivor, something big happens in my life. But next time, if it is the next time, hopefully that big thing might be a win.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, we'd love to see you back. A few people give the answer of like, not now, but maybe not never. And that's always good to hear. But just wanted to send you and your family so much love again. And we're going to put out the donate link. I'm going to go right now myself and donate. And I hope all of the listeners will join me in that and give whatever they can to this amazing cause and also just spread the word, because I love what you guys are doing. And I'm just so, so sorry for your loss.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Just one last note is the Survivor community, the players, the crew, production, the super fans, it's a different group from the other reality TVs. People sit down and watch a show and don't give it much. But the Survivor group and the community, and I'm involving super fans and anyone who's a fan of the show, they really get behind, the players and the show itself. So, we've had heaps of support already, even launching this challenge only a few hours ago. So, they're the ones that drive this, the community. So it's much appreciated, spreading that message as well.
Yeah, it's literally the least that I or the community can do, but I really do hope that we do that because it's so important. But yeah, sending you so much love, Lee, and thank you for coming onto the podcast to chat about your game and things that are much more important than the game, but I really enjoyed having our chat.
Thanks, Shannon. Cheers.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, how are you going?
Zach, it's been a crazy week of exile to culminate in that. How are you doing?
Wow, I know. Just absolutely mental. Yeah, I'm good. It's been great. We're getting all the support this season, which is nice. Good change, mate.
That's good. That's good. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. I do want to talk about exile, which has been, as I've said, the theme of the whole week, and obviously what brought the downfall of your game. You said you didn't regret it, but then maybe in the final words, there was a little bit of regret. How do you look back at it now?
Yeah, I mean, look, the amount of people that had to go down there, the people were going to be sent. The likelihood of me going down there was pretty high anyhow. At the time, everyone's going, oh, yeah, look, Dave conjured into going. But it kind of wasn't like that at all, because as soon as the twist was announced, I got excited. I was super pumped about the whole idea. I found it absolutely thrilling. And whilst it probably wasn't a good idea, thrilling ideas usually aren't. the idea to go jump a motorcycle over 17 cars, probably not the smartest idea, but you do it for the thrill. And that's kind of where I was at with that. When we're talking about regrets, I made heaps of mistakes and I've got plenty of regrets, but putting my hand up to go to exile wasn't one of them. It was more the way I kind of didn't read the play when we were at Tribal, when I actually got voted out, because I started getting sketched out. I had an idea that Jackie was going to blindside me, and I didn't go talk to Gigi about, handing over the idol to save my ass. So that's kind of where I let myself down.
Yeah, that relationship with Jackie ended up being really pivotal. What didn't we see that made this such a fracture in the alliance that she would possibly, flip to a minority position to vote you out?
Yeah, I mean, it was such a crazy move. That was one of the other things that put me and Dave off, that we thought no one would be stupid enough to flip on eights, because, you know, going home and then you're on the bottom of a 4-4 split on a new alliance, no one's going to go rocks for you, which is highly likely at a 4-4 split. So we kind of didn't really think that would probably happen. With me and Jackie, yeah, look, there were just a few, like, kind of little things that weren't great. You know, obviously, you saw where she kind of knocked my blocks off a little bit, and we had a couple of words there, and that kind of, she wasn't too happy about that. There was one stage where she was putting salt water in the rice all the time, after maybe not put so much salt water in the rice, and she told me to cook my own damn rice. Mm-hmm. It's just, Jackie, look, she's, outside of the game, I'm sure she's a lovely person. Inside of the game, she's just a bit abrasive. And I think it wasn't just me. She was, you know, rubbing a lot of people up the wrong way. So it's just one of those things, I guess. A bit of a personality clash more than anything.
What about people like Sean and Mo, who we saw Jackie tell, you know, she was going to vote you out, and they could definitely have saved you, either, you know, getting Dave to play an idol on you or just not splitting the votes, obviously, so that you wouldn't be able to be voted out there on that plurality. So do you think there was anything you could have done with those relationships? Like, why weren't they vouching for you there?
It's funny that you mentioned splitting the votes, because there's one thing you also didn't see in the edit was I was dead against splitting the vote, because I knew they didn't have an idol. And I was the one in the hot seat. And there's another regret that I have of mine, was not pushing to run the vote the way I wanted to run the vote. You know, I ended up submitting and letting them run the vote the way they wanted to run the vote, by splitting the vote, because, you know, Dave said to me, oh, look, if we get a sniff of anything funny, I'll play the idol for you. So, yeah, with Moana, it was a little bit of a shock, because we built such a strong bond. Sean and I didn't trust Sean. I trust a box of Cobras before I trust Sean. She kind of screwed me a couple of times with misinformation and not following through on the plan, like on the John vote, you know. So I was a little bit surprised at Moana, not so much with Sean. I don't think there is much that I could have done there as in terms of the relationship between us, in order to save myself from being voted out at that particular tribal council. But I do think that I really needed to push harder to make sure that, you know, why are we following your strategy when I'm the guy in the hot seat? We should be doing things my way. So
yeah, I mean, you're the only one vulnerable. You would think that they would kind of listen to you when it's like your butt on the line. It's been said online by AK that Mo said to Dave to play his idol for you. Is that your recollection?
I mean, I didn't hear that. I wasn't there. I've been told that she said that. But yeah, I mean, talking to Dave about that, because Dave watched the episode with me last night, and he said that she did mention it to him, but he thought that she was kind of, that she didn't have the read right. He's like, nah, there's no way. Which kind of surprised me. Dave was blindsided probably more than what I was, because I was kind of anticipating the move from Jackie, whereas he just didn't at all. So I think probably, you know, Dave's played a bloody good game, but that's probably the one mistake he did make.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a lot of people wanted to take a shot at you, like in terms of Mo and Sean, because of that relationship with Dave and how crucial that was. How did that get so tight? Where was the origin of the bromance?
Pretty much as soon as I got back from exile, we had the tribe swap. And, you know, I was already pretty much offside with my Makuta tribe. I'm like, well, I'm not working with these guys anymore. So I was open. So we had all these Vakamas rock up. I'm like, yep. Let's do this. I want to get in with you guys. I'm going to start chopping people's heads off. So Dave, he didn't really have anyone to kind of work with. You probably saw it in the edit. He's like, you almost work with me. I'm like, I'll work with you. We kind of had a bit of a chat. And everything was going well. He needed a main shield. I needed a main shield. We were kind of using each other in that respect. So yeah, that's kind of where it started, was as soon as I walked back after my first stint on exile.
Yeah, it did seem like a really key relationship. If it had gone differently and he plays his idol for you, or you don't split the vote and, you know, make it through last night, what were your end game plans kind of shaping up to be? Did you anticipate taking a shot at Dave, or did you want to go to the end with him? Like, what were your plans?
no one wants to go to the end with Dave. And, I was pretty happy with the position that I was in, that I built such a relationship and trust with him that he was prepared to play an idol for me. And, I mean, what a baller move that would have been. Save my own ass for someone else's idol. Oh, it grinds my gears that I didn't do it. I wouldn't have seen myself wanting to go to the end with Dave. I would have liked seen myself sitting next to, say, maybe like Tarzan and Jackie. There are a couple of people that I would have seen myself being able to beat. Anyone other than that. I mean, I played an okay game. It's hard to get it because you don't actually really see the amount of involvement that I had in the Nick vote, in the Lockie blind side, in taking out Harry. Obviously I did a lot of legwork in those two blind sides. I was the one keeping him on the hook and, getting, I had the swing vote on those. Yet everyone else was getting the credit. Can't stop.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard online from Harry and stuff like how well you did really swindle them at the merge, and you were the swing vote at the Lockie vote and at the Harry vote. Did you ever consider flipping at either of those votes? I guess either, you and Dave really seems to not be considering at the merge, but even at the Harry vote, was there ever any indication that you might go to the other side?
Yeah, it was really difficult to not make that choice because, to be perfectly honest, I really did want to take those shots. I did really want to get rid of Sean. And Jackie, like I said, I would have been happy to take her out as well. But the biggest problem that I had is, once again, you guys didn't see these in the edit, is that Harry had lied to me several times previous to this, and I couldn't trust him. Same with Nick, So the guys are like, oh, yeah, come work with us. I'm like, well, how do I trust you? You've already burned me twice, man. Like, how do I go in for round three with you guys? We're obviously working with kind of like the older crowd. They were just, Moana's all about trust, and they seemed much more kind of stable. So it, for me at the time, it sounded like the right move. I felt like Jackie, I could take out Jackie at any time. He's pretty easy boat. Whereas you've got someone like Harry, who the longer he stays in the game, the more chances he's got of finding an idol. He's amazing at playing from the bottom. He's great at creating cracks. I mean, this guy's dangerous. So it made sense to get rid of him before I even thought about getting rid of Jackie.
Yeah, I did want to talk about those relationships on, like, way back when, pre-swap Makuta, you obviously get sent to exile, but not with the most votes, so it's not really like a vote out, but you seemed not to be in the core group. Where did you feel that you fit kind of socially and strategically with that first group?
I came into the game not wanting to have too strong alliances kind of anywhere. I wanted to be that floating boat so that when we do have a close vote, like we did with Lucky, like we did with Harry, that I'm in the driver's seat. I'm the one that makes the decision on who's going to go home. And that gives you a lot of power. But unfortunately, it also puts you in a precarious position that you're an easy vote. You don't have any real strong alliances on either side. So if two sides aren't really warring, if they're sort of kind of happy at the status quo and they're happy to get rid of the easy vote, you're the first man to come up. It kind of didn't work out to begin with, I'm sitting here now, so.
And aside from Dave, obviously, who we've spoken about, who did you consider your closest allies at any iteration of the game?
Initially, when I first landed on the beach, I was kind of linked up with Henry. Mm-hmm. We went through some similar went through a kind of similar thing. So, like, his mum died just 5 weeks before he entered the game when he first played in season two. And coming into this season, one of my best friends died just a few days before I entered the game. And thanks. It was something that I was trying to unpack. And because I knew that he'd gone through that, he was probably the only person I really confided in. And, he was kind of helping me work through that. So we built that bond, that relationship. Also, he was an amazing game player. I really enjoyed hanging out with him. He's an awesome guy. And I was really hoping that we could do some work together. But then he just started playing crazy. He started wilding out, wanting to make these big moves and everything. And I kind of tried to distance myself from him, but it wasn't really good enough. That, I never voted with Henry, but because that I was, hanging out with him so much and talking through this stuff, I was kind of guilty by association, and that put me in a really precarious position. But so he was probably one of the first people that I kind of really linked up with. Shawnee was another one, obviously after our time in exile together, we kind of really established a strong bond.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that you were playing under such difficult circumstances. Coming into the season from your last season, was there a, besides just like, you know, being that kind of nucleus vote, which makes a lot of sense, but was there a real approach that you were changing in your approach to the game?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, last time I played, I was kind of just all about the challenges. I was just wanting to go down there, be a challenge beast, you know, talk some smack, lay some beat downs. And that's all my entire focus was really, really centered around. Well, we know how far that got me. So this time around, I really wanted to focus on my social game. And I knew I had it in me to be able to play a strong social game. You know, as we've seen with the winners in previous seasons, a lot of them are just really strong social players. So that was just a really strong focus for me this time around.
Yeah, and you mentioned, obviously, Shawnee, you touched on that. But I just find that such an interesting relationship. It comes from your first season, and it seems to have really kind of like come through leaps and bounds to the point where you'd say writing her name down last night was like the most difficult vote. You don't seem to have a lot of like strategic connective tissue, but it does seem like a very close relationship. Do you feel like it really evolved through the season?
Yeah, it did a lot. And I really struggled writing Shawnee's down. I really did. It was a weird relationship that just kind of, like you said, went in leaps and bounds and really, really quickly. When you're in an environment like Survivor, just everything's magnified and sped up. And we went through that adversity of going to exile together, and we just created this bond that I'm a protector by nature, and she leads a little bit of protecting from time to time, not going to lie. Like when we got out to exile, it was funny. It was pitch black. We can't see anything. So there I am, I'm getting this fire lit, finally get that going, and, you know, getting kind of like some shelter and everything all organized. And, you know what Shawnee's like? She's so sweet. She's like, how about I crack some coconuts? And I'm like, oh, that sounds great. Yeah, that'll be nice. And I sat there and watched her try to crack a coconut for 5 minutes. So she's the kind of person that I actually quite enjoy protecting people. And, you know, she was just really sweet to be around. So, yeah, that relationship grew really quickly.
Yeah, so interesting to watch between the seasons. I have to say, Zach, that, you know, we saw a bit where Lockie is the Bachelor and then he actually became the Bachelor. When are we getting, what was it, the Zach Attack? Was it the 8,000? I feel like we've put it now out into the universe and now this must be like a thing that exists.
You are absolutely correct. It is a thing that exists.
Really?
Yeah, you can check out my website, zktaxit.com, and we've got Zach Attack 3000, so just called Zach Straps out there, and you can pick one up.
Okay, this is crazy. I feel like was that before the show or after the show?
Right, no, it was before the show. So, yeah, so this is what I've been working on. I'm going into some more online training now. I'm kind of diversifying my training portfolio and doing more online training and kind of releasing some fitness equipment as well. And it was something that I was working on before the show even started. And because I obviously, you know, worked with design teams and everything, building this stuff, when I go out on the island, I made a set out of wooden rope and started delivering personal training sessions to people.
Okay, I'm glad that it like that was based on your actual career doing this, because otherwise it would have been like, what is this island manifesting where everything comes true? So that's really interesting that exists and was just like a plug here on the podcast. Zach, before I let you go, I need to know, would you play again?
Yeah, 100%. I would play again. I don't think you get that answer from most people who have played. They're like, yeah, I'm done. I wouldn't do it again. But for me, I just love the game so much. I still feel I've got more to give. And, you know, I think I'm still pretty fit and strong enough to be able to get out there and probably go for one more time and be able to recover. The recovery period is just so long on these. You know, I'm still recovering now, and I've been back since, you know, October. But, you know, it's just something about this game, man. It's just something about this game. I'm passionate for it.
Oh, well, good to hear. Maybe the opportunity will come up again. But until then, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
No, you're most welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, everyone, there you have it. Both exit interviews for week 6. Some really important stuff in there. Obviously, some enlightening stuff in there for the game. But I think we can all agree that a lot of, you know, what was happening with Lee this week was bigger than the game, so much bigger than the game. And if we can take one thing away from this week, it'd be probably to go in and give what we can and do what we can and donate. And we'll put that link, as I said, in the show notes. And if you can't donate, you know, it's always good to share and spread the word and just kind of think about it in that way. So I think that stuff's really important. But thank you guys so much for listening. As I've said, the recap with Tessa will be coming up. I just did a live know-it-alls with Rick Devins of the live video podcast that you guys can go back to listen to or watch about Survivor Winners at War episode 5. I keep getting confused about what episode and what week we're on, but I'm pretty sure it's week 5, and it's, I think, considered also episode 5. So that happened. Talking Tribal is still going on every week. I hope you guys are checking that out because it's been really fun to do. This week we had the great Sean Hampson as a guest as we talked through it all, which is always a good thing to get immediately post the episode on Wednesday night if you want your quick fix of analysis before we get into the podcast a little later on in the week for our Rob Has a Podcast. So hope you subscribe to that. Australian Survivor Talking Tribal is that feed. International Survivor Wrap-Ups is this feed, or Reality TV Wrap-Ups, whichever way you want to listen to it. Please do rate us, tell your friends, give us a review, reach out, any of the things to engage with the community. Thank you guys so much, as always, for the support and for listening, and I will see you on the recap. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
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 21 South Africans,
12 ordinary Australians,
16 New Zealanders,
20 middle,
give them the
swamp. £1 million.
Million euro.
Million shkeli.
Aldi, million rubli.
Tribe spoke.
Tribe
spoke.
Tribe spoke.
Tribe spoke.
The adventure of a lifetime.
The adventure of a lifetime.
Adventure of a lifetime.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.